Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Before we jump into this soulful episode, I want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my accredited program, Ayurveda Alchemist. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. Ayurveda Alchemist is for women who are ready to embark on an epic personal development journey, immersing themselves in the wisdom of Ayurveda, learning how to optimize their health and well-being by addressing all aspects of self, including their physical body, mental and emotional health, and spirituality, whilst wholeheartedly stepping into their dharma, their purpose. This program is also for women who would love to get started with a fulfilling career in Ayurveda, and for already established health, wellness, and life coaches who want to create greater impact by offering a holistic framework that gets their clients exceptional and holistic results. This certification is what you need to step into the high-level practitioner that you were born to be and stand out from the coaching crowd. You will experience undeniable growth personally and professionally. You will be mentored by highly qualified facilitators, guest experts, and practitioners. Spots are strictly limited. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the lives of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to www.harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast, everybody, and a special welcome to all of our members in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. And if you aren't in there, please join us because we can follow up the conversations after these live trainings and podcast episodes in the community. So please go and request to join our free community. Today, we are talking about endometriosis and how to live symptom and pain free through natural health. And to help us out with this topic, I have the amazing Dr. LJ Johnson, who is a woman's hormone coach specializing in endometriosis, PCOS, and fibroids. She has worked in the women's health and fitness industry for over 20 years while overcoming her own diagnosis of endometriosis. LJ's passion is to empower, motivate, and educate all women so that they too can have quality of life despite their symptoms or diagnosis. So I'm so excited to bring you this episode, and I feel like we could be really, really good friends. We have so much in common. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Harmony. I appreciate the invitation. I'm excited to unpack this because endo is a little tricky. So, I mean, any expertise that we can bring together to serve your community would be great.
100%. It is. It is a little bit of a tricky diagnosis. So it's great the work that you're doing. To start off my episodes, I always ask my rapid inspiration questions. So the first one is, can you inspire us with what your superpower is?
What is my superpower? This is a good question. I apologize. I'm not sure what that noise is. What is my superpower? My superpower really is just to motivate people. It's my energy. It's contagious. I have to be honest. I wasn't feeling a ton of energy before I got on camera, but once I'm on, I'm on. So yes, my superpower is my energy.
Yeah. And you do, you have such a beautiful energy. We were chatting before we hit record and I was like, oh, I feel comfortable straight away with this lady. Love it. So what's your favorite quote or mantra at the moment?
My favorite mantra, this is a good one. My thing is, you can live an amazing life despite your diagnosis. And this is something I tell myself every day. I definitely tell my patients, and a lot of my social media posts come around that as well. So I'll say it one more time. You can live an amazing life despite your diagnosis.
Beautiful. And I think we're going to really unpack that a little further in this episode as well. So that is a good little way to start. And the last one is, who or what is inspiring you at the moment?
Who is inspiring me in the moment? You know what? I think my community, the endo community. There's so much going on in the community. Every, you know, chronic illness community has their drama, but I feel like we've grown past the drama where we're really supporting each other. And just my thing is getting the people in the driver's seat of their health, right? Getting the patients, the clients, everyone in the driver's seat so that they're not suffering in silence. So I'm really excited about the community and just all the things we have coming forward this next year.
Beautiful. And I think just to start off, like when you speak about having you in the driver's seat as with your diagnosis, it also helps to put some of that healing responsibility on yourself as well, because I know that when you are diagnosed with a chronic condition, it's really easy to, you want to outsource it, you know, like we outsource so much in our life. And when it doesn't go to plan straight away, we look at blaming the other health professionals for our condition not being solved straight away. So I think it's really important to bring that, I don't like to use the word ownership, but at the moment I'm not coming up with a better word, but that ownership of that diagnosis and your health in your own hands. So yeah, I think that's a really another important point that I'm sure we'll unpack. But before we get into all of the juicy details, could you share with us your story on your path of becoming a women's hormone coach?
Absolutely. So it took me 16 years to be properly diagnosed with endometriosis. And that is what shifted my entire, not just my personal world, but my professional world. I was diagnosed and it was, you know, it's kind of like that throat punch Thursday. Like you're like, okay, I've got diagnosed. I'm finally not crazy. People are not, you know, trying to convince me. But then on the other side of it, it was like, okay, I have this chronic and invisible illness. I still am a mother, right? A single mother of two children. I have a business that I'm trying to run. I want to, you know, have relationships, all of these things. So I really had to kind of step back and heal myself naturally. And then once I did that, I couldn't just go back to my private practice as before, you know, just talking about basic nutrition and, you know, over-exercise and live on chicken breast and broccoli, because I'm like, that wasn't quite working for me. So I couldn't really go back singing that same song. So I had to really just pivot based upon my own healing journey. I had to really sit back and decide like what got me to where I was at and what I could do to help everyone around us. The other thing I was thinking of when I made that shift is how I hid in silence. For 16 years, I hated my body. I hated my doctors. I hated everything. I questioned myself. I questioned my own sanity. And so getting to the other side of that, it really made me realize that the entire time I was hiding in plain sight, you know, I was the woman on the news at 5 a.m. giving, you know, those three health tips, those three fitness tips. And so everyone just thought everything was perfect for me. But in the other, you know, I guess I went off camera, right? That's when the real LJ was there. Like I was suffering. I was in pain. I didn't know what to do. And then the biggest thing is I was traveling the world saying all of these things, and then they stopped working for me. So once I was able to really get myself in the driver's seat, I was like, I can't sit on this information. There's no way that I can just go back to saying the same thing of, you know, over-exercising, under-eating, all of these things. We have to really make that shift and pivot. And that's when, you know, like social media and all these things come out and you start telling your story and suddenly people start coming in droves. Like, that's me. You know, even recently I made a post on Instagram about things I went through when I was 14 and 16 years old. And people were like, that's me. That's my story. And so I was like, that's why I do what I do. Because like I said, it's the biggest thing of hiding in silence. Nobody wants to talk about it. And I'm sure, you know, it's something we'll kind of unpack on here as well, that it's really minimized as a period problem. And so people are ashamed. Nobody wants to talk about it. You know, no one wants to give it the validity that it deserves. You're always dismissed. You're always just kind of pushed to the side. So it was really just changing that view, not just for myself, but everyone else around me.
Amazing. And I so resonate with your story. I was a personal trainer, a yoga teacher, a Pilates teacher, teaching classes all over town. I'm also a clinical registered nurse. So I was working as a health professional, coaching, like doing all the things and being seen as the health professional in all aspects. And I too was like suffering from hormonal conditions. And I think that's I think that is like when you do become a practitioner or a coach, a lot of the time you want to help people with what you've been through in the past. So my need to do everything and doing all the things led to a lot of overwhelm and stress and hormonal conditions and gut health stuff going on. And I felt like a fraud. And so that's how I sort of turned more through the Ayurvedic path, because I tried all the traditional Western sort of methods and it wasn't working for me. So I did have to find another way. But yeah, we still, as practitioners and health coaches, go through, you know, what women go through. And I too have been recently diagnosed with endometriosis myself. So yes, wow. I feel you. I totally resonate with your story.
When did you get your diagnosis?
Like literally November.
So it's very new.
January. So yeah, a few months ago. I didn't have the typical signs and symptoms. So I don't have like really painful or heavy periods, but being, I specialize in women's hormonal health, and knowing what I know and all of the study and research I've done, I just had this hunch that I had endometriosis. It was more around ovulation time. I know our hormones peak around the ovulation time. I was having chronic bloating, and I know that gut health and hormones go hand in hand, but I just knew it was more than that. And it wasn't just periods of stress. It was like hormonal fluctuations. So yeah, finally, went to a doctor, a lovely doctor, who finally listened to me, and we went and investigated that further. And yeah, I had endometriosis stage 2 in 4 different areas. So yeah, that is me also.
Yeah. So that's fresh. That's new. I mean, my heart goes out to you, but I want to point out a couple things that you said, advocating for yourself, right? You were seeing that something wasn't right. And it's like, maybe, I think sometimes people are like, we don't have all the answers, or you see an Instagram post or you see a blog that says, you know, you have these symptoms and you're like, oh, I don't have those symptoms. It's not me. But realizing that there's something not right. And I think this is also the perfect time to define endometriosis. Cause like you said, which I love that, you know, your symptoms were different and everyone's symptoms are so different. So when we come to endometriosis, it is chronic systemic inflammation throughout your entire body. And so it is not a period problem. It's not a reproductive issue, which is what it's usually pushed under with the birth control. It is that chronic inflammation throughout your entire body. It is hormonally driven. It creates its own estrogen and progesterone, right? Which is why birth control doesn't work, because, you know, it's just doing its thing. It is that inflammation that really does bring that autoimmune like factor. So I think that's another thing. Now, as far as symptoms, those can be, you know, we could talk about symptoms for hours because everyone's symptoms are so different, but some of the main symptoms can be bleeding outside of your cycle. Sometimes you can have nosebleeds, you can have chronic, you know, migraines. There can be a lot of bloating, a lot of distension. And when we say bloating, and I have some people that have endometriosis, you're like, oh, the endo belly, right? We're not talking about the cute bloating where you can put on a sweatshirt and hide it. We're talking about the bloating where like, you're so uncomfortable, you don't want to eat or drink water. You're so uncomfortable, like you can't, you know, function. Like it's actually distension where it's causing pain in your body. The bleeding outside of the cycle, sometimes you have what we call the murder scene periods, the heavy flow. But then on the other hand, you may just have inflammation throughout your entire body and have, like you said, none of the period issues. So you're like, oh, it's not a period issue for me. However, to make it even the more exciting, then there's silent endo. So there are people that have endometriosis maybe at, you know, stage 4, because there are 4 stages. And so, you know, they can have stage 4 endometriosis, zero pain, zero discomfort. They're on the fertility journey. Things aren't working out. They go in, they get a workup, and then they find out that there's endometriosis lesions all over their bowels, their bladder, their adhesions. So it really is important to advocate for yourself. If there's something going on with your body, even if it's not endometriosis, you know your body better than anyone does, you know, so advocate for yourself and really get the care that you need.
And I think that's another sort of difficult thing for women to come to terms with as well. Like you said, some women could have the smallest amount of endometriosis and have extreme pain and bloating and a lot of symptoms. And another woman could have a lot of endometriosis and have really minimal symptoms or no pain. It doesn't seem to discriminate. So it is a very unique condition that we're only now really starting to understand better, and not even completely understand it. It's only that we're starting to understand it a little more and a little more as the years go on and more research go into that and more awareness as well. So I think someone who has you know, had the surgery and being diagnosed and had a small amount of endo taken out and feel like a little like bad, like why was I in so much pain? They told me I only had like this much endo, whereas my friend has got it everywhere and she seems to have, you know, be fine. So I think it's a really important to not compare your diagnosis either, because with endometriosis, no diagnoses of that are identical, are the same, and we're all so individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you said, it's important to know that, you know, endometriosis is four different stages. And so people get really hung up on what stage am I? You know I was diagnosed with stage four. However, I was in debilitating pain. I don't know if its stage has changed or not, but what I do know is that I don't have period pain. I don't have any of those issues any longer. So it's important to know that even if you have stage one, two, three, or four, that doesn't really, you know, the pain meter doesn't really match that. And I think for many people, like you said, they think stage four, they're always going to be in pain. It's going to be chronic. They're never going to have quality of life. Yet someone else could have stage one and be doubled over in pain. And I think sometimes it's interesting too. Some people will be like, my doctor told me I'm stage two or three, yet they never did a laparoscopic procedure. So I'm like, how do they even know? Because laparoscopic is the golden standard for diagnosis. And so, you know, MRIs and ultrasounds and all those things can be helpful. And I do realize that endometriosis is almost like a diagnosis of exclusion, but the golden standard to have it diagnosed is that laparoscopic procedure, you know, which can be helpful sometimes because they may remove some of the endometriosis, but that is not the golden standard for removal.
And I think from my understanding, stage four is that has to include endometriosis around the ovaries, from my understanding. So you could be like riddled with it, have it everywhere, but not around the ovaries and not be deemed stage four. And that's why even like the doctors, the gynecologists who deal with endo are like, oh, the staging system is pretty flawed in itself. So it doesn't represent, you know, your symptoms, how bad you have it, and how you manage it really.
Yeah, it's definitely don't hang your hat on the symptoms. You know, the symptomatology only takes you so far. It's at the end of the day, I don't care what your diagnosis is. It could be PCOS, fibroids. Maybe you're just like, I have a womb wellness issue. I don't know what the heck is going on. It's really about the symptoms and getting to the bottom of the metabolic chaos. It's remembering that the period pain, you know, the murder scene periods, the bloating, all of those things, those are really just symptoms that you really need to dig deeper. And I'm sure this is something you talk about, Harmony, like getting to the root cause. Like, yes, we can put symptoms, you know, in their place and we can kind of damper them down. But if you get to the functional, you know, level of what's really going on and then build your healing protocol, you know, at that point, it doesn't really matter what stage you're at, right? You just want to have quality of life.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the most common symptoms, since we're talking about symptoms, is the period pain. Like that is sort of like how traditionally a lot of people diagnosed or queried the diagnosis for further testing. I didn't specifically have that. I did get lower back aches. But just for this episode, could you please share what is actually causing that pain? What is behind that pain?
I know, right? So once again, because like I said, it's not a period issue. It's not a rogue period. So that is the endometriosis lesion. So those lesions, like we said, endometriosis is uterine-like tissue found outside of the uterus. So pretty much anything outside of the uterus is fair game. Those lesions and those adhesions are responding to your hormones. They're responding to cortisol and stress and everything else that's going on in your body, combined with, I don't know how much we'll touch on this, but toxins, you know, so xenoestrogens, everything that's going on, that is really feeding that fire. So when you have endometriosis, the best way to think about it is every morning when you wake up, you have a small fire burning. You are managing a chronic illness, which causes inflammation throughout your entire body. The fire is burning. Everything you do throughout the day, maybe what you eat, drink, you know, the people that you're around, the toxic load, stress, et cetera, is going to either damper that fire or fuel it. When you're starting to feel that pain, that is when those lesions are kind of, you know, flaring up and pressing on those organs, causing those adhesions, you know, causing that additional bleeding. So that's what you're looking at when you're looking at endometriosis.
Amazing. Absolutely. And the other thing that I would really love to discuss as well is how gut health relates to endometriosis. So yes. I know from my own experience that my clients who have endometriosis, They get really great results following an anti-inflammatory style diet and even the FODMAP diet as well, because there's a crossover with gut health and endometriosis. Mm-hmm. And obviously the anti-inflammatory is very explanatory, like we've already spoke about it being an inflammatory condition. But can you speak more about how gut health is related to the imbalance of women's hormones? And we know endo isn't caused by hormones, but it's exacerbated by the hormones. So it's very important to address both gut health and hormones. So I'd love for you to speak on this and how you manage it through your practice as well.
Absolutely. The biggest thing when we start talking about gut health and hormones is we have to, like, I'm going to just put this out here and it always shocks people, but think about it. Your head is connected to the rest of your body. And you're like, yeah, LJ, I got that. But no, really, your head is connected to the rest of your body. So when you're talking about womb health and endometriosis and things going on in your womb, it's right next to your GI tract. And so it's almost like when someone's like, I want to heal myself naturally. I want to get rid of the pain, but you know, I don't want to do anything with my gut health. You know, or they're like, I don't want to do this stool sample. That's gross. And I'm like, that's where the money's at. Like, we need to know what's going on in your gut. So you have to realize that there's that gut brain connection, the hormones, everything is intertwined. So when it comes to gut health, you have to really think about it this way. When you have a compromised gut for any reason, maybe it's because you're chronically inflamed, possibly you have leaky gut. I mean, I'll even use myself as an example, right? I was on pharmaceuticals all those years trying to figure out what the heck was going on. Yes, the pharmaceuticals may have been helping with one or two symptoms, but it was also doing a lot of damage as far as to my gut health, my gut lining, et cetera. So with the gut health, you have to really think about the leaky gut. That's typically what's going on, but leaky gut looks different for everyone. Now, when you're thinking about a leaky gut, it's almost like for you that are watching on video and you can see me, right? It's like those tight junctions are nice and tight and everything is, you know, solid in your gut. So when you're eating food, those microvilli, you know, that's pulling the nutrients, you're feeling great. You're getting everything you need. You're not nutrient deficient. Now, when you have leaky gut, those junctions start to open up, right? So then things are leaking through. So even though you're having the most, you know, overpriced organic food from Whole Paycheck and everywhere else, right? It's not quite doing you any good because your body is thinking that is a toxin, that it's a, you know, an antigen. So it's going out and attacking that. So that's when you start having some of that inflammatory response. I love, like you said, the anti-inflammatory diet, which I will say, right? More not a diet, but a nutrition plan looks different for everyone, but you have to really find out what works for your body and what's going to damper down the inflammation. A lot of people, you know, maybe experience pain all of the time, but as soon as they get usually to like day 1 through 14 of their cycle, when your body is more inflamed, you have an exacerbation of those symptoms. So really being able to figure out like what's going on with your gut, how you can heal your gut, because at the end of the day, and I've been there, I will say it, I'm not coming from the high horse of this is what I learned in school. I'm coming from the been there, done that horse. Like, this is the thing, right? So yeah, you can bring in supplements to balance your hormones and take care of the bloating and, you know, help you lose a couple pounds. But at the end of the day, if you balance your gut, then all the other things, that's really like your foundation, right? So what I like to do with my patients is, mostly, you know, we have to really address the nutrition. And so the nutrition, I think, is easier for people, the fitness. But when it comes to the gut health, that's kind of where, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, we can skip that call. I'm good. I take a probiotic, or, oh, you know, I've got a stool softener, or, you know, whatever. And it's really talking to people about their bowel health and what it looks like. And then starting to unpack that and not just look at your gut health as in, oh, do you poop or not? Right? Because that's kind of the basics, like, okay, you're moving toxins in and out of your body. But what does your mucosal barrier look like? What does your zonulin look like? Your histamines? Like, we really need to dig deeper, because a lot of the times when you're having those food allergies and food sensitivities, you're having these issues where you're just like, you know, maybe I was the only one, but it's like, I don't know what I can eat. Like, one day I can eat this, the next day I can't. You know, one day I eat the shake, the next day it makes me super bloated and I'm doubled over in pain. Really figuring out like what your body is reacting to is so important.
Absolutely. And I loved your analogy of the fire. As an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner, we look at the gut as being super important for our overall health. We have this term called Agni, which is our digestive fire in the gut. And it really represents like the way we digest our food. We have Agni all throughout the body, so the way we digest our thoughts and our mitochondria and cells and all that, but just specifically talking about the Agni of the gut, how we can digest. And when we have a chronic inflammation or illness, we speak of the Agni being really low, like you said, like this little fire burning. And so it's how you can support that Agni to support your overall health. And as you mentioned with the elimination process of the bowels, and mm-hmm. we've just also spoke about how hormones can drive endometriosis growth. Mm-hmm. And that's more speaking to the estrogen. So if we aren't having a good Agni, a good digestive system, and we're not moving the bowels, then mm-hmm. we are not excreting the estrogen that we need to excrete. And it's like this sort of circle of a cascade of events that happen to then support the endometriosis. So another reason why gut health is so important, and looking at the, you know, all of the little aspects. I think when we're trying to optimize our health and our hormones, we can't ever just look at one thing, like let's look at the pain and let's look at the hormones. It's really this holistic approach. So I would love, even from like the Ayurvedic perspective, like endometriosis mm-hmm. is actually a tridoshic condition, because we have, I don't know if you know much about Ayurveda, but we have these three doshas in the body, mm-hmm. the energy systems, and the Vata influences the movement and the pain and the spasm. So we have to treat that. The Pitta is the inflammation, and the Kapha influences the growth of the endometrial tissue. So there's so many aspects just from the Ayurvedic perspective, but when you bring in functional medicine and Western medicine and all of the things you really need as a team to help support endometriosis, it's like it is quite a journey. So I guess my question, like the golden question, is how yes. can we live pain and symptom free with an endometriosis diagnosis? How do you right. manage this?
So let me put it this way. If I could airdrop it to everyone, if it was that simple, I would. It's yeah. not quite something I can just airdrop to your iPhone. I mean, living pain-free is possible. I honestly, and you know, some people love it, some people hate it. I am pain-free. I have not had excision surgery. I have not had a full hysterectomy or a partial hysterectomy. I have all my parts and I'm good, but I've had to make some substantial changes. Let's start with, like you said, the gut health. Sometimes we got to start with the not so sexy stuff. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest thing and what I found in my practice. If we just go about chasing symptoms, something for the acne, something for the back pain, something for the nerve pain, then every time we meet, we're just bringing another pill for every ill, right? And that kind of helps sometimes, you know, you want just the symptoms to calm down. But what I like to do is really get to what is going on. I know this is, you know, tough for some people to think, but the endometriosis and those lesions, that's really not the problem. That is a symptom. That is your body giving you a check engine light, letting you know that something is out of balance, right? Now we need to find what that is. I like to look at your hormones, your digestion, you know, your detoxification. We're looking at the emotional stressors, oxidative stress. All of those things really tie in, but nutrition is huge. Now, when I say nutrition, there is no endo diet. And I've got a podcast episode that talks all about that. It's probably one of my first or second episodes. Like, I know many of you are searching, probably listening right now, and you're Googling endo diet. There is no cookie cutter endo diet. You have to find what foods work for you. The shake that makes me feel amazing could be absolute kryptonite for you. And this is where I plug either of us. You have to work with someone. This is a lot of research, right? That is missing, a lot that still needs to be discovered. You really need someone to lead and guide you as far as it comes to the nutrition. Now, definitely low FODMAP can be very helpful, you know, eliminating nightshades, anti-inflammatory, but you really have to find the foods that work for you. Another thing I like to do with my patients, which some people can think it's very controversial, is looking at your blood type. I know even for myself, there were foods that I just loved, right? I'm like, oh, they just work for me. Yeah. And then there were others that didn't. And then when I started looking at the blood typing, I'm like, yeah, peanuts don't work for me. I'm a blood type B. You know, I feel like I've been hit by a bus when I eat chicken. Doesn't work for, you know, doesn't work for blood type B. So it started to really just open my eyes to where I needed personalized nutrition. The other thing that you really have to look at are the triggers, like what triggers are in nutrition, but also triggers as far as the environment. When you're dealing with endometriosis, many of you will also be dealing with PCOS or fibroids. Usually it's endo and fibroids. I hate to say they're like cousins or whatever you want to call them, because there's that toxic overload. So when you're dealing with that type of stuff, you have to figure out what toxins are coming into your body. And if you're able, like you said, with those bowel movements, and you're able to excrete everything out, if not, you're essentially recirculating those toxins, which is going to exacerbate your symptoms. So looking at your detox pathways can be, you know, exercising, it can be dry brushing, it can be a castor oil pack. I mean, to be honest, I have my castor oil pack on right now. You would never know. It's tucked underneath here, right? So it's supporting your detox pathways. So looking at your detoxification, looking at your nutrition, and then also looking looking at movement. I mean, there are so many different things, but I would start there, especially if you're in a lot of pain and you're like, what can I do today? I would start with the nutrition and be very open-minded to the cookie cutter nutrition, right? Just because you're vegan, just because you're paleo. The other thing I will say about the food before I leave the nutrition, which I'm like, we may have to get on a soapbox with this one, is when you're looking at nutrition, sometimes we choose like I'm keto, I'm paleo, I'm this, that, and the other, but you're doing a lot of processed foods. Those processed foods are full of chemicals and toxins, right? So for example, if you're vegan and you're doing all the fake cheese and this, that, and the other, there's nothing wrong with being vegan, but some of those foods, I'm going to be honest, they're not really foods. They're chemicals. You're bringing in a bunch of toxins and there's no way for your body to damper down the fire. I don't know the cool Ayurvedic term, so I'll let you say that one, but there's no way for, yeah, there you go. She's got it. There's no way for your body to damper down that fire if you're bringing in all those toxins. So for some of you, it's just getting on whole foods. It's maybe staying keto, vegan, paleo, all of those fun things. But just getting on whole foods and getting off the processed foods can be a huge, huge game changer.
Absolutely. And I'm so, so happy that you said that and brought that up, because a lot of people believe that they are eating really healthy. And when mm-hmm. you work with a practitioner or a coach and you break down their diet, you can see that what yes. their expectations of health is and what they believe to be healthy, because they have been caught in this web of social media influencing mm-hmm. how we eat, we can really break that down and see that, you know, that could be problematic for you. So I think, yeah, 100% and agree with personalizing a diet, because even the FODMAP diet has to be personalized, because mm-hmm. you don't react to all of the FODMAPs most often than not. Mm-hmm. It's like a specific one and it might be completely different for the next person. So yeah, 100% agree with you there.
Yeah. Yeah. The nutrition is important. And even in my practice, I like to break it down because, you know, like you said, we're recording in January, so it'll probably be the same truth once you guys see this recording. The thing is too, is like, everyone wants to lose some weight. They want, you know, want to lose 5 pounds, 10 pounds. You're thinking this restrictive diet. And what it really is you need to see what your body's reacting to. Sometimes some of the foods that you're eating that are healthy or you're throwing in your smoothie, that's like a red flag. It's like, you know, a red flag. It's like kryptonite for your body. So it's really, there's some awesome testing out there that can look at food sensitivities, look at food allergies. There's also some testing I do because sometimes, you know, when we're coming to metabolism, it's like, you think you're a fast oxidizer or a slow oxidizer. And it's like, we really need to know what's going on with your body. I know for me, I used to be a fast, you know, oxidizer. Now I'm slow. It just is what it is, you know? And so being able to change my nutrition has really been, you know, a big one for me.
And it's often the hardest thing to do, like mm-hmm. for a lot of people, especially when you get used to eating the same thing over and over again, and it takes more prep and takes more thought like about the foods, but it is such mm-hmm. a game changer. So it is worth the time to put into that.
Absolutely. It's definitely worth it. Right. And it's a lifestyle change. So that's the other thing, the endometriosis diagnosis, even though I'll use myself for an example, I don't have any pain. It's not something I wake up every morning and be like, oh gosh, I'm going to be in pelvic pain all day like I used to. But here's the thing, the lifestyle changes I have to be consistent with. Yes, I can sneak in a little dairy, you know, every so often, like during the holidays, maybe I had a slice of cake, et cetera. But I know long-term that's not going to work for my gut. I know for me with the autoimmune like factors, my gut's a little more sensitive. So bringing in all that extra sugar, yeah, I could maybe sprinkle a little in, but I couldn't have went all holiday, you know, eating a bunch of sugar and candy and cookies and all that. Because for me personally, my immune system, and I also have a gene, so right down to my DNA, that I'm a little more sensitive. And so I deal with that candida and fungus. So it's like, I don't want to go in and, you know, so that's the other thing about gut health. I think sometimes we want to just minimize gut health as, you know, oh, bowel movements, or, oh, you know, putting a probiotic. And so when you really dig deeper into the gut, you can see where those imbalances are and what's going on. And typically with endometriosis, there's going to be a lot of that crossover, you know, maybe the bloating, you know, you want to sweep all the bloating under the rug, you know, under the endobelly rug, but it could be a fungal overgrowth. You know, you could have SIBO, there could be H. pylori, like all of these not so fun things. But if you can take care of that, That's what I'm talking about, like getting to the root of the problem versus just I'm bloated, let me go get some peppermint capsules. You know, like there's something in between that we really need to kind of deviate a little more. I think we just with endo, I think because like we said, there's so many symptoms that could range. I mean, it could be anything, you know, under the sun. So it's finding a way to really get to the bottom of them so that you can have some relief.
Yeah, absolutely. And I treat a lot of SIBO patients and I've like seen the correlation between endo and SIBO. So if endo is growing around the bowel, it can cause that obstruction. And so you can get SIBO, which is small intestine bacteria overgrowth happening. And so I will see women come in with gut health issues and we start treating the SIBO. But when I start to see them, I'm like, have you been diagnosed or have you queried endometriosis? And they're like, no, because it's all gut problems. And then I'm like, well, when we sort of break it down, I'm like, I think it's a real possibility for you. And they go off and they get tested and they have endometriosis. And like, you know, versus vice versa as well, I've seen a lot of endo clients who have the SIBO, but that was undiagnosed. So like you said, it's not just one thing that we've got to look at and have a treatment pathway for just that as well, because there's a lot of crossovers with different conditions that come with autoimmune type conditions, endometriosis, gut health, all of the things. So besides the diet and the gut health, is there anything else that you do to help live pain and symptom free?
So the other thing I would really, like I said, are the, you know, the detox pathways. It's having a toolbox. I can just rattle off a few things right now. When it comes to pain, magnesium is a big one, but it's figuring out the type of magnesium that you need, right? And there's tons of types. I just did a video and people are like, what are the types? So I had to do a video about all the different types. Magnesium, bringing in supplementation. Now I'm definitely not one for just throwing random supplements because we don't want to do the pill for every ill, but being able to tell, you know, work with those detox pathways. The other thing is just really working with your nervous system. When you're in chronic systemic pain, your nervous system is kind of revved up. It's always running and fighting that bear. So being able to really come out of that, you know, fight or flight and just kind of be in that chill is a big, big thing. I think once again, when you're talking about that, there's also the mental health portion, right? The mental health of always being in pain, feeling defeated. Sometimes you, you know, have these goals and things you want to do with your personal life and, you know, work and whatever else, and your body is not allowing you to show up. So it's really making sure that you have that mental health support and then, you know, supporting those detox pathways. I mean, that could be like a whole nother, whole nother conversation about detoxification. I mean, some fun things, you know, like I said, easy things, the castor oil pack, there's dry brushing, you know, there's lymphatic massage. There's so many different things that you can do. Even just like manual massaging your body to get your lymphatic system going, because with that inflammation, kind of like you're talking about with SIBO, it starts to back things up. And what I found is when you're going into a flare, yes, it can be a stressful time at work or things going on in your life, but it's basically when those drainage pathways start getting blocked up, may it be with hormones, inflammation, whatever, that's when you see an exacerbation of symptoms.
Absolutely. And we know that our stress hormones will change the chemical of the our sex hormones as well. And then we know that the sex hormones influence the growth of the endometriosis. So when you talk about regulating the central nervous system, like it is so important for like any hormonal condition. And we're not, I'm not saying endo is a hormonal condition, but it is driven by hormones, the growth factor. So when we're speaking about that and gut health and endometriosis, like central nervous system regulation is so important. And talking about the mental health, I think that gets in the clinical setting, it gets really overlooked because endometriosis is a chronic condition. It can be a chronic painful condition. And it is so important to address that because it can lead to more anxiety, more stress, more depression. And when I work with women, I use my higher self methodology, which is optimizing health. And then the for the first pillar, which we go through all the functional and Ayurvedic and all of that. But then when it comes to the second pillar is empowering belief shifts, because sometimes we have these beliefs around our diagnosis and what that's going to look like for us forever. Or we have not been able to get out of the pain successfully for a period of time. So we feel like that's the outcome of our life now. And we can create these beliefs around that. And it's so important to support how we, you know, what we believe about ourselves and our diagnosis and how we can change those to more empowered healing beliefs, because you can't heal from a place of disempowerment. You've got to heal from a place of empowerment. And like we said at the start of the episode, taking some ownership and responsibility for your own health in your own hands, and education and understanding of the condition that you have as well. So yeah. 100% with the mental health component of endometriosis, I think it's something that really needs to be nurtured.
It is. And it's a big thing. And I think also when it shows up, you know, it's like, oh, you're depressed, or oh, you have anxiety. And it's like, is it truly that? Or is it just a real anxiety about going to the doctor because you don't know what's going on with your body? You know, like you said, also the mindset, it, you know, there is a different mindset that you have to have as a chronic illness warrior, because your body is under attack 24/7. So yes, there are going to be the days where you feel defeated, et cetera, but you need to have that support system and really have those affirmations. And as I would say, those tools in your toolbox, because this is, you know, this is going to be a long haul. You know, there's going to be a lot of work that you have to put into it. But circling back to what you said, is having a team, that this, you have to have a full holistic approach. You can't just have a dietitian. You can't just have a nutritionist. You may need, you know, an ND, a PsyD. You may need a pelvic physical therapist. You need a total team. And I explain it to my patients as they sit at the beginning of a conference room table, and all of those chairs at the table are where they allow different practitioners to sit. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes you may have a practitioner sitting in a chair that doesn't believe you, that's not supporting you, that maybe is just pushing pharmaceuticals, that's always wanting to have a surgery. If that's not what you want, then you need to communicate that with them. And if that doesn't work, then you pull the chair out. You don't snatch it where they fall. You slide the chair out very gently, let them go, and then you put someone else on that team. But like I said, you know, endometriosis is almost like a diagnosis of exclusion. So you've probably been to the GI, you've probably been to the endocrinologist, but even once you get the diagnosis, you're still going to need that total support.
Absolutely. And just before, I let you go, is there any other misconceptions or myths that you would like to debunk about endometriosis?
Oh gosh, that could be like a whole hour. Yes. So misconceptions.
Like so many.
I'm like, ooh, that's a good one. All right. So misconceptions. Number one, that it's just a period problem, which kind of goes with the whole birth control is going to cure or turn off your period, you know, turn off your endometriosis. Birth control may or may not be a part of your healing journey, but here's the thing, turning off your period is not going to turn off endometriosis. It may give you a little bit better quality of life, you know, may make it easier for you to manage some of the symptoms, but it's not a cure. The other thing, another big misconception, I'll be a very honest, one of them that I fell for. So that's why I'm very big on this misconception, that if you are in menopause, or if you put yourself in medically induced menopause with Orilissa or Lupron or any of the fun names of the same medication, anything that puts you in medically induced menopause is not going to stop, cure, or turn off endo. It's the same misconception that it's a period problem. So going into menopause is not going to change that. And like I said, I fell for it. I was desperate. I won't even say I fell for it. I just didn't have all the information, definitely some misinformation, miseducation. And number three, I was just desperate as God knows what, and I wanted the pain to stop. And so I tried it, but you know, that's once again, a whole nother thing, because it left me in menopause for 2.5 years. And to this day, I still pay some of the consequences from the side effects of a medication I took over 10 years ago. The other thing when we're talking about that I'll end with is hysterectomies. Hysterectomies, or yanking out all of your lady parts, is not going to remove endometriosis, because remember the definition, endometriosis is uterine-like tissue found outside of the uterus. So removing your uterus, different things like that can be helpful with quality of life if you're very anemic or you've got other things going on, but it's not going to cure your endometriosis. And over 70% of my patients have all had a full hysterectomy. They're still in pain, right? When they come to me, they're still in pain. They're still bleeding, because once again, the lesions were never inside of their uterus. So they're still bleeding. You know, it's that misnomer that goes right back to the whole, if we could just leave the whole period pain thing, if we get rid of that, I think a lot of these misconceptions would, you know, kind of fizzle out, but those would be some of the main misconceptions.
Thank you so much for sharing those. And I think that also just proves the point of how individualized this diagnosis is for people, because, you know, some people might get great relief and it might feel, they might feel like they've been able to get back to more of their normal self because they've been able to subside the symptoms that were making them feel really in a lot of pain or depressed or anxious. But as you said, you've had clients who have done these methods and have still come to you with the exact Absolutely. Same symptoms. So again, don't ever compare yourself with endometriosis diagnosis and your healing journey. Mm-hmm. It's so individualized. And also don't feel guilty if you have done one of these methods, and especially if it is working for you. And don't feel guilty if you have and it's not working. It just means that you have to find alternative, because you don't deserve to live pain-free. I mean, no, you deserve to live pain-free. You don't deserve Absolutely. To live with pain and all of the symptoms. And I know it can be a tough and frustrating journey when you're trying to find the answer. And if you haven't found it yet, it can feel really deflating. And sometimes you just want to be like, screw it all, I'll just accept it. And sometimes mm-hmm. you need to go through that and just be in that for a little while. But don't give up, because like, you know, you've just shared your story. You're pain and symptom free yourself.
I am. It can happen.
You know? So, yeah.
But it's work. And that's, you know, I get messages on Instagram all the time, you know, what did you do? What's the one supplement? Like I said, if I could airdrop it to everyone, I would, but it is not that simple, but it's worth it. I remember what it was like to be stuck on Mattress Island and not be able to do anything, or stuck on the couch and not be able to, you know, sleep in my bed upstairs because I was in so much pain. So, you know, that's another thing that really holds me accountable. Like I said, you know, I may change up my nutrition every once in a while, but I remember what it was like to be in pain. And I'm like, nothing tastes as good as being in pain, like in a flare or in the hospital or any of those things that I had to go through.
Brilliant. And thank you so much for all of your wisdom that you have shared on the podcast and live in our Ayurveda Women's Health Sisterhood community. Really appreciate you and the work that you do. Could you please share with us where our listeners can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I spend most of my time on Instagram at LJS_powerhouse. I also have my own website at ljspowerhouse.org and my podcast at The Holistic Endo Expert, and that's holistic with a W.
Amazing. And thank you so much to our listeners. And if you have been inspired by myself or Dr. LJ, and you feel like you would love to help people through health, holistic health coaching, please get in touch, because I do offer a certification program to become an Ayurveda holistic health coach. And it is an amazing, brilliant course. Not only will you get the benefits for yourself, but you will also be able to uplevel your health and wellness business, create greater impact in your life and the lives of others by transforming their lives through holistic health coaching. So please get in touch at harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au or Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. So thank you, everybody. Namaste. If you missed the intro and jumped straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you uplevel your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.